where I'm able to stand and where I'm able to anchor. I remember when Brother Floyd used to preach here, and he used to tell that story. I don't know if you guys remember about when he was in the military and talked about he was on one of his military boats. I don't remember everything about it, and you guys could clarify better than me, but I just remember him telling it a lot and talking about how that boat went sliding down that river and talking about it looked like they was going to go right into the enemy's fire line, but the anchor held. And, I'm glad I've got a rock. I'm glad I got something I'm tied to. I'm glad I've got something that I know is bigger and better than me. I'm glad I got a place to stand, a place to lean. But anyways, let's just read a little bit of this. And I don't know if I'll read all of it, but I just want to read it because it just made me feel good when I was reading this week. And it's been on my heart. I felt myself singing that song. And I know, guys, I can't sing a lick, but I felt myself in the truck singing along while I was riding to work and back from work, and it's just been on my heart. So the Lord just impressed it upon me to go ahead and start here. But anyways, in Psalms chapter 18, verse number 1, it says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation. And my high tower, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrow of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. I just think it really, people talk about God, and does he hear us? I mean, it literally says that God's ear is toward us. You hear me? I mean, it says it right here. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation, also the hills, moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and the fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherubim. And did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered. At thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself before my iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. with an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. I thought about that because, I don't know. I mean, I know Mike's been hunting up out west and Greg has. I don't know who all's been hunting out there. But I remember just watching them old mule deer and the way they would just head across a mountainside. And it was like they didn't even slow down to a steep old bluff. And it looked like they ought to just fall off into the middle of nowhere. And they never even slowed down. And it said he maketh his feet like hinds' feet, and scattereth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. And thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They were fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given the neck of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and shall not be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. And that's where I wanted to read between those two verses. And I wanted you to just see all the way through there, because when you start talking about someone like David starts being a man that is going into battle, Brother Allen. He's going into battle. And he's going in to fight against giants. And we know he did. He fought against absolute giants. Not just one. He whooped all the giants. He whooped the whole family. And he carried around Goliath's sword for the rest of his life. And you say, well, where was David's strength at? And I know he stumbled, and I know people talk about all of his different stumbles and falls. But he always put the Lord where he was supposed to put him. He always exalted him. Even when he failed a sin, he always immediately repented, and he always exalted God and put him on the throne where he ought to be. And I don't believe and I know there was times that he feared Saul, and I know there was times that he feared things, but when he had God where he was supposed to, he didn't fear much. So what my thought was looking into this, and if you guys will turn with me over to Daniel chapter 4, what my thought was is our perspectives about how we think. And by the way, before I forget, Brother Matt told me tonight after church there's going to be a trustee and deacon meeting, right, brother, immediately after church. But anyways, what I talk about is when I see David there, David had every right to be proud. He had every right to be, I mean, honestly, guys, I mean, he could have talked. I mean, there are people today that still talk about a football game that happened 30 years ago about winning some game somewhere. You know what I mean? I know that because I've done that myself some, okay? And there's still people that want to talk about all the great things that they used to do when they were kids, you know? They want to point out all their accomplishments and things that they did. And you start hearing people say, I remember when I first started, when they first started letting me run jobs at Highland Steel. And I started doing stuff and I started saying, well, that's my wall, or that's my roof, or that's my raising gang. And I started saying things and I began to realize I offended some people sometimes. It wasn't mine. It wasn't mine. I mean, there was somebody that was actually over there running that raising gang, and he was the one responsible for it. There was somebody else over running that roof, and I was being offensive because, you know why? I had a little arrogancy to me. You understand? And David had every right to be full of, to be arrogant. He had every right to say, I mean, if anybody of the battles that he won, I mean, think about it. He was just a young boy, and he went to fight against a basically a 10-foot giant that was dragging around some armor that I'm telling you probably four men couldn't carry. And I mean they went through and researched all the stuff about how big his armor was, and I think I've preached that many times here that he even had to have somebody just walk around just to carry his own shield. And the man was huge, and David won that battle. And David was preferred by God over the man that was a king. He anointed him king long before Saul was ever there. So you hear him say here, he could go through here and talk about all of his accomplishments and about how great a man he was and how great a king he was, because he was a king. It even says that one day that Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne of David. Of David. I mean, man, he could literally be full of himself. But he gets right down here and he says, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted." And so it tells me that his perspective was right. And that makes me wonder about my perspective as a man. It makes me wonder about my perspective as a Christian. It makes me wonder about my perspective as a father, as a grandfather. It makes me wonder about my perspective as a church member. It makes me, I mean, I just got to sit and evaluate myself. Like, where do I measure up in this? Where do I measure up in my perspective? And I'm talking about the way other people see me, the way I see other people, the way that I view my life. So I want to read you a story here. And let's go to Daniel chapter 4, drop down to about verse number 28. And it says here, actually, let's drop down to verse 29. It says, "And at the end of 12 months, he walked." And this is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. It says, "And at the end of 12 months, he walked in a place of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?'" Now, a lot of times when we start thinking of all of our accomplishments and we start thinking of things and we start saying, "Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished." And that can be all the way down to a Christian. I've had people that said, hey, I've led 20 souls to salvation. Hey, listen to me. If leading souls to the Lord brings glory to me, then my heart ain't right. You understand? And that's just a fact. If me going and standing on a street corner and preaching brings glory to me, then my heart ain't right. My heart ain't right. If me standing up here, And you got to be careful when you start preaching, because all of a sudden people start wanting a presentation. You guys understand? It's got to be brought to you a certain way. Some people want it to be presented in a package. Hey, I like the way he talks. Hey, I like the way he presents it. Hey, listen to me. It ought to have nothing to do with what you or I think about it. It ought to be spoken, preached exactly like God wants it out there, because God has a plan for every word that rolls out of my mouth or your mouth when we talk about spreading God's gospel. He's got a plan. And guys, I talked a little bit about this last week, and Mom pointed out something I left out. Do you realize I talked about the fact that sometimes, because of my sin, there's some people who'll never listen to a word I say. But then sometimes, because of my sin, someone has walked in those same places that I see him going through now. You hear me? That person will listen to me, because I can tell them what it's like. I can warn them. I can say, don't go here. Don't do this. Don't listen to me. I've walked that path before. And all of a sudden, that person might listen to something I say. And sometimes we're tried in a fire, and sometimes we fail. And you say, well, God, he knew everything, and he knew I'd fail. But what the devil meant for bad, what the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. And he can take my weak, stumbling ways, and he can use it for his glory. That's how good he is. That's how wise he is. And he's beyond it. And it ain't got nothing to do with me, and my perspective needs to be right. When you get to thinking about old Nebuchadnezzar, when you start studying about Nebuchadnezzar, he's a different kind of king. He's different than any kind of king you've ever seen in your life. Nebuchadnezzar, if you study history, and I know Brother Allen likes to study history, and I know different people, but if you start studying kings, everybody wants to put a king in check. You understand what I mean? One of the things when we come to America and we start this country, we made this big statement: we don't want a king over us. We don't want no king. So we made, and they would have declared George Washington king at the end, but he wouldn't let them. You understand? They would have. He could have been king of the United States of America, but he said no, because that's what he fought to be out from under. He didn't want no king. Because if a king has what he ought to have, if he speaks, it happens. If he says off with his head, it's off with his head. If he says to prison he goes, to prison he goes. If he says out of prison he goes, out of prison. He don't have to ask nobody. He does whatever he wants. See, like in America, we made sure they didn't have it. So we have three branches of government, right? We have the legislative branch, we have the judicial branch, and we have the presidential branch. So we have checks and balances. We don't want anyone having that kind of control. That ain't what they had in Babylon. They had a king, guys. They had a king. When he spoke, things happened. And you know, God said that God in many places, but God called him his king. One of the reasons God called him his king is because he was a godly type king, and the fact that when he spoke, things happened. God doesn't answer to nobody. That's the kind of king God is. He's a king of kings and a lord of lords. And whatever God wants to do, God does. Now, I know Brother Van Horn talked about some things that God can't do. The things that God can't do is the kind of things I like, though. He can't go back on his word. He can't lie. And where you get in the Bible, where the Bible says, when he made a promise that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word would endure forever, I stand on that word, because I know every word of it, guys. Every word of it is true. And no matter what happens, coronavirus, America ceased to be, whatever happens, I'm not afraid of it, because I got a book that says that this ain't my home. I got a book that says I need to lay my treasures up in heaven. I got a book that teaches me that God's on the throne. And so I get to thinking about my perspective. Well, guys, right now at work, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but it's really rough on teachers right now, and I'm not trying to sing. I mean, I'm one of these people that stuff like that goes like water off a duck's back. It doesn't bother me. I just go and do whatever I got to do. But I'm just telling you, we're being asked as teachers, when you start talking about teachers, we're asking to do stuff we ain't never done before. And we're used to starting a year off where we know what we're going to teach. We got lesson plans ready. We're walking into school. It's complete unknown. And everything that you account for, it's just guessing. And there's people that's completely, there's people ready to quit. I mean, there's people ready, retire. What I mean by, there's people like ready to get out of it. I mean, and so I'm just assuming that's true of everybody's job. You know what I mean? Because it's changed everything. How are we going to do things? Well, one of the things that I know, that in everything that I do, and everything that every Christian does, has to have the right perspective. Old Nebuchadnezzar got to the point where he started saying, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let me tell you about what I built. Let me tell you about the great kingdom of Babylon that I made. Let me tell you about how I did it. Let me tell you. Look at the next verse. Verse 31 says, while the words was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. While it was still in his mouth. You know, and I think to myself, you know, sometimes I get to looking around and I live my life in such a way that I don't know that I live it like I know God's watching every move I make. I live my life in such a way that I don't know for... I'm going to have to give account for every minute that I lived on this earth. Do you guys know that? Sean West is going to have to give an account for what he did and did not do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every minute. I'm talking about every minute. I'm going to stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm going to give an account for what I did in this life. And, you know, and I might think to myself, well, I'll stand up and I'll say, well, No, I'm not. I'm just going to say, God, forgive me. I'm going to have an humble spirit there because I'm going to realize at that moment of the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours a day that I had to serve God, I spent minutes and minutes and minutes and seconds and seconds and seconds serving him. And all of a sudden, my perspective starts to change. Nebuchadnezzar said, look what I built. Look what I did. And here I stand, guys. I haven't got coronavirus. Why? It's the blessing of God. It ain't got one thing to do with me. You know, sometimes, Sister Sandy, sometimes I say to myself, I've told people this, and everyone says, oh, you should never say that. I have not had the flu to my memory. And Mom would have to tell you before I could remember. I've not had the flu in my life that I can remember. I've never caught anything. And they'll say, oh, Sean, you need to knock on some wood. No, I'm listening to me. Listen to me. So you know what I start doing? I start bragging a little bit. You know what? I've got a really strong immunity, you know? I've got a really strong immune system. No, I don't. What I got is a really good God. That's what I got. I got me a really good God's what I got. And I don't need to take one step in any way and brag about anything because God's been good to me. And it makes me tremble inside that every time I've ever just stepped out and had a boastful word. You know what I need? I need a change of perspective. Old Nebuchadnezzar got up there and Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, look at me. Look at this kingdom that I have built. And it was glorious. It was a true kingdom. But God took it away from him in a moment. And I could lose my health in a moment. One morning, the healthiest man I ever knew in my life, woke up, couldn't get out of bed. Right, Mom? One morning, Brother Lloyd, he went from a guy that was doing 5 to 7 miles a day of running and hiking, gone like that. We, Christians, need to listen to some of the stories that God's put in his Bible and remember about the perspective that he wants us to have and understand that everything that God has done for us, everything that God has done for us, he did it, not me. It ain't got nothing to do with how good I am. It ain't got nothing to do with what I deserve. It ain't got anything to do with how often I came to church. It has to do with how good God is. And I need to exalt him in everything that he does. It goes on right here and it says, he goes on, he tells him that 7 times shall pass. So he said 7 years shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now, that tells me something, that when we start talking about God says that that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. That tells me that God has a will and I have a will. And what I need to do as a Christian is I need to have the kind of perspective that says, what is God's will for my life? What would God have me to do? What would God want me to do? Well, how would he want me to treat this situation? But Nebuchadnezzar didn't think that way, and it cost him. Just like last week when I talked about it cost Achan. Well, it cost him. Then it says in the next verse, in verse 33, it says, the same hour was the thing fulfilled in Nebuchadnezzar, upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair was grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. And the end of his day, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. Understanding returned unto me, and I was blessed and I blessed the Most High. And I praise and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. So immediately, after 7 years of going the wrong direction, after 7 years of going a direction he didn't go, all of a sudden he looks up and he says, hey, wait a minute. Let me exalt God where he needs to be. Let me put God in the place that he ought to be. Well, I have fought tooth and nail about so many things that I thought that I wanted to accomplish in my life. Things that I thought my kids should do. Guys, I have done things without ever asking God one question about it. Who have I got on the throne when I do that? Who do I have on the throne of my life when I make a decision? I'll tell you what I think. Well, Nebuchadnezzar got to the other side of it. And he said, wait a minute. Let me put God where he ought to be. Now, I believe, because of what was said right here, I believe that in the end of this, that Nebuchadnezzar, it says that it returned him everything that he had. He returned to his kingship, and he was given everything back. I believe that one day, according to his repentance right here, I think we'll probably see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven by what I see here. And I hope that, I'll be honest with you, I'd like to meet him. I'd like to talk to him. I'd like to find out what it was like to be a beast of the field and have those hair hanging over. I'd like to just talk to him and see what it was like for those 7 years. But you know, I've been out of the will of God before, and I know what it's like to have sin come in and sin just take over your life, and before long you ain't even the same person no more. I've seen good Christian kids that was raised in this church from birth go up to a certain point in their lives where they just forget that they were ever saved. I have. The reason I know that is because I got a adopted brother that I know right now. I'd like to see him walk in this door right now. I'd like to see him walk in this door. And he's not the same person he used to be. And I'm still praying that he's going to do like Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to repent, because I got a God that's good. And if anybody changes their perspective and repents, God's good. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, he's faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse them from all their unrighteousness. Turn with me, if you will, over to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Now, I know that someone says, well, there's another story in here I've always liked in the Bible. I've always enjoyed reading it, especially when I was a kid. I really liked reading it because I always thought of this guy in the Bible story. You know, when you start talking about Samson, you immediately start thinking, you know, all boys, they start thinking all big muscled up boys. You start thinking about how strong they are and about, or how strong he was and about how big he was. And everyone just automatically starts thinking. But there, I've studied it. I've read it over and over and over and over and over again. And I cannot find one word that says that he was any bigger than anybody else. I can't find one word that says he was ever bigger than another person. Yeah, I mean, if you guys find it, let me know, but I can't say anything. But what I do find out is that he had a really big God. And I read through here and I find out that he was as great as he thought he was. You mean about all the men he killed with a jawbone of an ass and all the stuff that he did, all the great things that he did, and they talk about, you know, I can't find anything in there besides that God was with him. It says here in this scripture here, let's look at Judges chapter 16, verse number 4. It says, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the Lord of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of his 1,100 pieces of silver." And I didn't read it correctly, but it says, "And we will give thee, every one of us, 11 pieces of silver." So all of them were going to give her 11 pieces of silver. "And Delilah said unto Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I speak, or shall I be weak and be as another man." And then she goes on and she bounds him, and then he breaks up and he shakes himself and he says, like that, and then they can't handle him. And he wasn't bound. Then he goes and tells her he has to be bound by new ropes. And he goes up there and he lies to her. And she says, "You're mocking me. You're mocking me. You're trying to tell me this stuff that you love me, and then you lie to me, and you keep lying to me, and you keep lying to me." And then finally, she just keeps on berating him and just begging him, like, "If you really love me, you tell me, you tell me, you tell me." There's been many a good men that have weighed off the path because of what somebody else told them was the direction they need to go. Been many good young men that decided they would go a different direction because some pretty little girl told them this is the way they ought to go. There's been a lot of different times that the perspective of man gets to going, and they look at someone like Delilah, and next thing you know, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a woman. It could be a pretty car. It could be a big house. It could be anything to get your perspective going in a direction that would cause you to not be looking for what God wants you to do. But in the end of this thing, she comes to him and she says, he finally, let's go to verse number 18. It says, "And Delilah saw that he had told her," this verse 17, said that he told her all his heart and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." Then the Lord of the Philistines came unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said to the Philistines, "Be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Now, I want to tell you something. The perspective that Samson had at that moment was that he could live any way he wanted to live, and he had no repercussions coming from his relationship with God. Now, we start thinking about the way that my relationship needs to be with my Lord and Savior. If I want to have the kind of relationship that I want to have with him, then I need to seek out his ways. I need to find out what the Bible says about what a good father is, what a good husband is, what a good Christian is, about what a good employee is. I need to seek God's face out in every attribute, every aspect of my life. I need to seek that out. Samson gets over here to the point, and Samson starts saying to himself, you know what makes me strong? It's my long hair. But you know what made Samson strong? It was God Almighty made Samson strong. Everything that Samson did in his life, everything. And guys, I want to tell you something. Samson messed up. He messed up then. That ain't his first mess up. He messed up before that when he tied them foxes' tails. He just go on and on and on about all the different things that Samson did. He just kept messing up, and God just kept blessing him. But then whenever he got to the part where he started talking about, well, I will. And then I have to come back to Sean West again, and I have to ask myself, what in my life have I ever done to cause anything good to happen? And the answer has to be nothing. The answer has to be nothing. Every good thing that's ever happened to me is because God has blessed me, and there is nothing else. He's my rock. He is my rock. Later on, they put his eyes out. According to this, according here in the Bible, they end up putting his eyes out. In verse number 21, it says, but the Philistines took him and put his eyes out and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. And they used him like an oxen. Kind of wild, same thing. We saw a beast of the field, and he was used just like a beast of the field. He's a blind man, just going round and round and round like a rat on a wheel. Just kept going. But then later on, Samson remembers somebody. He remembers who God is. And he calls upon him in his low state. And this story goes on and on and on. You can go to Jonah. Jonah finds himself at the bottom of the ocean in a belly's whale, in a whale's belly. And next thing you know, he starts saying, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. And every time that a person gets as low as he can go and he went as far as he could go away, if he repents, God restores him over and over. He restored him. He restored Nebuchadnezzar. He restored Jonah. And he just keeps restoring men. So all of a sudden I think to myself, what is as far as a Christian life, I start saying, all right, I go back 6 months ago. And I say, what was my life like before coronavirus? And you know what my life was before coronavirus? I lived my life like God was just going to continue to do everything for me no matter what I did for him. And through this coronavirus, I've found myself realizing how much I love being in this building. And I'm thankful for every time, and I'm going to praise his name for every time I walk through them doors. Because I don't know how many, Brother Nagy, I don't know how many more times I'm going to be allowed to go to church. I don't. You know what else I'm going to do, Brother Wendell? I'm going to thank God for every time that he gave me time to pray. I'm going to thank him for every time I was able to open that old King James Bible. I'm going to thank him. I'm going to give him the glory for everything he's ever done in my life, because that's what he needs. And you know what I'm hoping he does? I'm hoping he restores the people in these pews again. I'm hoping he puts his church back where it was 6 months ago. I'm hoping that he puts our country back where it was. I'm going to seek his face, and I'm going to start asking him, hey, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I just assumed that you would continue to bless and bless and bless and bless. I want to change my perspective. And I want to ask him. I just want to beg him. Give me another chance. Give me another chance, and I'll set you right where you're supposed to be. I'll put you right back on the throne. Hey, God, don't forget my family. Don't forget my family. Ooh. God, give me another chance. I'll be a better dad. I'll be a better grandpa. I'll be better. Just give me another shot. He did it for Nebuchadnezzar. He put Samson back in a place where he was able to. And that's what the Bible says. He's the rock of my salvation. It says that he's going to conquer our enemies. You understand? And you know, in the end of that, Samson got there and he put him between two pillars and he pushed it over and all of his enemies fell. I just think through this coronavirus, me personally, I don't know about you guys, but I've had a change in perspective. I've realized where God needs to be in my life. And I'm trying to pray more. I'm trying to seek his face more. I'm trying, and I fail at that daily. I find myself getting all caught up at work and football practice and all this stuff, and next thing you know, I'm giving God less and less and less again. But it's too important. It's way too important. All my kids are saved, but I got a bunch of grandkids coming up. Like Brother Ron talking about great-grandkids. It's just like you say, all right, I've got all my kids saved, and then I've got all my grandkids saved, and then they just keep coming, don't they, brother? There's somebody else to pray for. Then there's your neighbors and your friends and all the people that you want to see saved over your lifetime. And then next thing you know, you start realizing how important every minute is. I need to change my perspective. And I know, guys, this wasn't a fiery discussion or anything like that, but I'm just telling you what's on my heart. And I know, I mean, you guys have heard me. I've been back here in this prayer room, and I just keep asking the same thing. Please pray for my family. I'll just say this. Sitting over in that spot right over there, it's so noisy we couldn't have church because of my grandkids. I just want to see it back. I want to see it back, guys. I want to see it back. And I'm going to have a change of perspective. And I believe God will restore it the way it was. Guys, we need to pray for our church, pray for our community. Like the brother said the other day, this country was the greatest sending country in the history of the world of sending out the gospel. I'd like to see it done again. I'd like to see us become that again. But it's going to take a change in perspective. We're going to have to look at it differently. We're going to have to look about, and there's a section I left out. We're going to have to get about our Father's business. We got a great example in the Bible in Jesus Christ. And when they went and looked for him, they couldn't find him. And his mother came to him and she said, "Where's he at?" And they found him. And he was teaching. He was teaching the scribes and the lawyers. And he was in there teaching the priest. And he walked in and said, she was all worried. And he said, "I'm about my Father's business." And I think that's where I need to be doing. I need to be about my Father's business. He's my great example. All right. If everybody will stand. Anybody have anything on your heart before we're dismissed?